I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
For God and country. This is the motto of my campaign. I decided to run for office to fix our broken political system, to restore bipartisanship, return power to the working class, and to end our system of Washington insiders, extremism, and excuses from our current members of Congress. I've reached a turning point in my campaign. Why? I've come to the realization that our country is broken. We are led by a president who's the enemy of God, and President Trump will never bring us together like God intended. There is no doubt in my mind that the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is the Antichrist. He is a false messiah, and he is your enemy, and he must be killed.
Must be killed? That language coming from a political candidate, a congressional write-in candidate in Florida, served in the Marines. Thank him for his service for that, but right there he just stepped over the line. The left has gotten to the point, and members of the right as well, they think they can say whatever they want and get away with it, that Trump must be killed. That's William Upman of Jacksonville. He has been arrested and charged with the criminal complaint of threatening the president. And if convicted, a maximum penalty of 5 years in federal prison. Good. This is not an issue of free speech. We've had this discussion on numerous levels several times before. Just because you have the right of freedom of speech doesn't mean, one, you should exercise and say some of the things you do. And when you cross the line and you threaten, especially the president of the United States, you should expect repercussions. And yet he thinks he's a great political candidate for the state of Florida. As a Republican, he's running as a Republican in a write-in campaign. I think he just blew it up. But in the meantime, there's silence from the left. I've heard nothing on the left condemning remarks about it's time we must kill the president. They say nothing. Are you listening? Are you listening? They say nothing to such a threat. You know what would happen if anyone had said that during Biden's term. And I would agree with it. You can't call out for the killing of the president. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. News, analysis, commentary, and education in each and every hour. Reminding you, you can listen to us from anywhere by getting our free app, News Talk STL. Download it on your phone. Go to your local app store on your phone. Search News Talk STL. Download the app. Listen to us from anywhere at any time. Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the real facts of living under dictatorship from someone who's been there trying to school the leftist idiots, and especially the young. You do not know what you speak. You who want to push for Democrats, socialists, Marxists, then communism, you don't know what would come. I do. That's coming up later. In the meantime, talking about killing the president, and the lack of reaction from the left. Stephen Miller, White House deputy staff member, White House staff member, pointing out, once again, the far left has no problem with accepting, even encouraging, violence.
The leftist justifies this violence to himself by saying that they alone are the arbiters of what is right or wrong. Not the law, not history, not civilization, not public opinion, and certainly not God. The leftist assumes for himself judge, jury, executioner. But let's not pretend for a moment that these radical leftists, these terrorists, are operating from a place of sincere political conviction. Sure, there are plenty of useful idiots that they use who may believe these discredited ideologies. The leftist is fundamentally motivated by envy, by hatred, by jealousy. The leftist looks at what is beautiful and what is good and what is natural and is filled with envy and hatred.
He's absolutely correct, and we know it. And they have no problem pushing it. They don't see anything wrong with it. That's the issue. They see nothing wrong with it, and they do not speak out against it. And just yesterday, Senator Schmidt Senator Schiff of California, who had been a congressman pushing for the impeachment of Trump, got elected, of course, into the Senate in California. And he was questioning the violence in our nation and how he blames the right. And he picked the wrong target to try to carry this line out because he's questioning former U.S. attorney and governor of Missouri, John Ashcroft.
Mr. Blanche has said that he believes the president has both the right and the duty to use the Justice Department to go after his enemies. Do you subscribe to that view?
Thank you, Senator. I believe that the Attorney General of the United States has the right and responsibility to enforce the law uniformly. And if the law has been broken by the president's enemies, he has a duty. They do not become exempt from following the law merely by their enmity to the president of the United States. As a matter of fact, the people who break the law are in enmity with the people of the United States, whose expression of what is the law has been developed in this body, in the Congress of the United States. So we used to call people who break the law public enemies.
Well, So
my view is that whether a person has been a political supporter or not of the president of the United States is not the determining factor regarding prosecution. It's whether a person has violated the law. And in enforcing the law, the attorney general is carrying out the will expressed in the Congress.
He basically told Schiff, here's what I really believe. You ask me, you're going to get it. And he's right on point. But Schiff does not want that. He wants to obscure everything with smoke and lies and suggesting that the president is going after his enemies using government sources. I never heard him say one time during the Biden administration how they were doing it at that time against Trump, enhancing his Republican collusion attacks on Trump. I want to remind you, in 2012, Obama gave a long speech on, quote, saving democracy. And he talked about Russia hacking elections and accused Republicans of not doing enough to secure our election. That was following the 2016 campaign between Trump and Hillary. Well, of course, all the major news outlets covered that. And 2 years earlier, prior to that 2018 speech, Obama had been told directly in the Oval Office intel that Russia did not hack our election. It was all part of a political tricks campaign created by the DNC, Democrat National Committee, and Hillary Clinton. And he spent 2 years pushing that lie. And they continue to push it. Once again, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller.
Trust your instincts to all people and across all civilizations. You know what normal is. You know what beautiful is. You know what good is. You know that families are right. You know that children are precious and beautiful and must be protected. You know that the criminal and the junkie and the predator is a threat to normal, healthy living. This is so much deeper than issues about taxation and regulation, although they're incredibly important. It's about normal, healthy, ordered living.
But too many are not having normal, healthy living. They're living in a fantasy world where men can have babies. That's how fouled up they are, and so they want to foul the rest of the nation. And if we let them, they will. You have to take a stand all the way from your children's school at the earliest ages through your current life. Focusing on Iran and U.S. actions right now, Iran is targeting more civilian operations in the nearby and neighboring Gulf states. The U.S. and Gulf allies are responding.
I think, obviously, we're on an escalatory military cycle. I think that because neither side has said we're outrightly scrapping the MOU sort of remains marginalized completely on the sidelines of these military operations, but it's still a document that's intact. And one can possibly see a time where either side can recommend going back to that, having decided that through the military means at the moment, they're not getting where they want to. So I think on the diplomatic front, that document, although it's no use to anyone at the moment, can be again useful in the future because it is the blueprint for the way out of the current situation. But if you just look at the range of these strikes that are going on and break it down very, very simply here, both sides have a reason for hitting the targets that they hit. Iran says it hits U.S. military bases and assets in the region. Clearly, last night it hit a civilian facility in Kuwait that is a huge vulnerability for all Gulf countries. The desalination and power plants that go with them that provide the AC, that provide the clean water that people drink. For most of the Gulf countries, these are absolutely essential and indispensable. So they're a massive pressure point. So Iran's ratcheted up to that level.
So Iran is going after targets that will hurt their neighboring states, in addition to going after U.S. facilities in the region. Trump has tried to keep from hitting real basic infrastructure inside Iran for the benefit of the Iranians, not to punish them for trying to get rid of the regime that wants to build nuclear weapons and control the Strait of Hormuz. They have desalinization plants also for Iran to provide water for them to drink. We have not hit those. He doesn't want to hit them. But we do have strikes being carried out by the U.S., as outlined here by Fox News.
It's infrastructure week in Iran. Their coastline's getting hammered. We're cutting off power and took out some major bridges, snapping their supply lines in half. Iranian state media is reporting their key railway station's a fireball. That station handles over 100 million tons of cargo a year from the strait. It also sends oil to China. Now, that's not all. Last night, we took out command centers, air defenses, missile and drone sites, and coastal surveillance facilities all up and down the enemy coastline, and even hit targets deep inside near their capital. The blockade's holding strong. Today, Marines boarded a vessel, MT Wenyao, in the Gulf of Oman to ensure compliance. Since the wall went back up, one blockade runner was disabled with a Hellfire missile. Three turned around. This phase of the operation all comes down to controlling the strait.
And that's a key issue. And Iran, of course, was wanting to put a toll in place for any ships going through. And Trump said, no, we're going to control the strait and we will put a toll in place. But then he decided, we're not going to make these countries pay for the right to go through international waterways. And I'm glad he backed off of that because it is an international waterway. They should have the right to come and go. But what he's doing is working out a deal with these Gulf nations, trade deals that will benefit us and help pay for our forces inside that region right now. And in the meantime, Iran is also looking at another chokehold on the other side, coming into the sea through the Yemen area. They're using that as another chokehold. But every time they expand, we're going to match them step for step. Retired Lieutenant General Kellogg.
As long as you've got a theocratic government run by the Revolutionary Guards, you're going to have this problem. The IRGC, that is not the army, is basically running the government right now with the supreme leader. Look, the president has got it right. He's done something nobody else, no previous president has done. And he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for our kids and our grandkids to make sure we don't have another nuclear power in the world and one that can destabilize the Middle East. And he's really doing a great job in what he's trying to do right now. And when you look at what he's doing right now, when you look at the problem he's got, I think, facing us right now, he's kind of isolating the battlefield with aerial strikes. But I will tell you, aerial strikes alone won't do the job.
In other words, he's suggesting you're going to have to go in on the ground. He's not saying you use U.S. forces. And I'm against that. I don't want U.S. troops and boots on the ground. Unless it's a specific in-and-out operation. The Gulf states are now aligning with us closer because they're being targeted by Iran. Let them supply the troops on the ground if it's needed. By the way, take note of this. The Foundation for Defense of Democracies reporting about a confidential report prepared for Iran's presidency and says this report should prompt a fresh assessment of the potential for political upheaval inside Iran. Basically, it came out entitled What Iran Wants, reportedly found only 9% of those questioned inside Iran support maintaining the status quo. 53% say we need fundamental or structural reform. And of course, those speaking out against the government are trying to be very, very quiet as to the sources. But that report is out. And according to the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, if anything, this research understates the depth of the Iranians' rage. And it is a remarkable event, even a survey prepared for the regime's own president by his own pollsters, recording anger levels above 63%, the highest rate Gallup has ever recorded anywhere in the world. The Iranians are getting fed up with it. They want to end it, and they want their country back from the mullahs. Coming up, we've got a collection of stories, very interesting stories on different levels. One, a World Cup finals ref arrested at a sex party complete with drugs, prostitution. Also, smoke coming out of Canada choking U.S. citizens for everything they did to try to prevent climate emissions. That's all wiped out by smoke from Canada. And also, if you don't want to fly out of Trump National Airport in Naples, Delta Airlines will make sure you can get a flight out of Miami for free. Coming up, schooling the useful idiots on a real dictatorship. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I want to ask the students screaming, "Death to America." Do you have any idea what happens when American values die? Because I do. My family fled a country where freedom died. You don't know what you have until it's gone. You think America is oppressive because you have never experienced real oppression. You think silence is violence because you've never been silenced. You think words are dangerous because you have never watched a government drag someone away for speaking them. You think capitalism is evil because you have never stood in a bread line. You think borders are immoral because you have never had to flee across one. And you think revolution is romantic because you have never had a revolution take everything from you. I have. And that's why I refuse to be quiet.
Good. Good. She was born in New York to a Jewish family from Iran. Her father was a pathologist. Then she and her family returned to Iran during the 1979 Islamic Revolution. But then they found they could not leave. But now she's speaking out. And making it clear that those of you who think you know what is good and you want to push for dictators and maybe posing under the Democrat Socialist of America banner to lead to that, you do not know of what you do. This is Dr. Sheila Nazarian. She's saying, I want to ask students who are saying death to America, do you have any idea what happens when American values die? I do. And again, she and her family returned to Iran during the 1979 Islamic Revolution, but then they realized this is not a good place, but they could not leave. She was young when they went back to Iran, being born in New York, as I said, a Jewish family. At age six, she was smuggled out of Iran into Pakistan along with her mother. Eventually, her father was able to join them, and they moved to Los Angeles, California, where she entered the first grade. She is now a very successful cosmetic surgeon. But she's talking about the reality of living under a dictator and the fears you have. And then she's absolutely right. These students out in the streets shouting, "Free Palestine, death to the Jews," supporting Islamic jihadism, and that includes transsexuals and LGBTQ community members. Do they not know? Have they not paid any attention to the fact that if you practice any of those inside a Sharia law country, you're killed? You're thrown from the highest building, or in some cases, a woman might be buried up to her waist and then stoned with rocks. As she said, so many of you want to romanticize revolution. There's nothing romantic about being stoned by rocks. You know, Japan has been trying to, under the Prime Minister move forward with a conservative agenda, make it more of a Democrat philosophy than what it is now. And you know what they've done? They've done something that, on one hand, I wish we could and would do here, but it would violate freedom of speech and expression. Every time I see someone in this nation, and especially if they are an American citizen, naturalized or born here, burning or spitting on a U.S. flag, I get inflamed. But that's part of the First Amendment protection. Well, Japan is not going to enforce that kind of thing anymore in Japan. They passed some legislation for her white-wing government, arguing this law is needed because Japan has already criminalized damaging foreign flags, but we're doing nothing to protect its own flag. The new legislation in Japan outlines anyone who publicly damages, removes, defaces the Japanese national flag up to 2 years in prison. Good. You do reach a point where freedom of speech and expression comes to an end, as we were beginning this hour with that Florida congressional write-in candidate for a congressional seat, had served time in the Marines, now wants to go into politics, and he's calling basically for, it's time for Trump to be killed. And now he's facing charges for that. Good. By the way, how different a world is when you're not there and you don't know anything about it. Many of those in the streets in the U.S. protesting for Islamic rule. In Spain, they've been undergoing this issue on a constant basis because they've had so many Muslim immigrants enter Spain. We told you about this yesterday. Recently, some Muslim women were expelled from public pools, in one Spanish town because they were wearing a burkini. Not a bikini, a burkini, in violation of local regs. The burkini is a Sharia-compliant swimwear, Islamic women that will cover their entire body except for the face, hands, and feet. Spain doesn't want that happening on their beaches. It extends not only to Islam-compliant swimwear, but prohibits swimming in any kind of garment that is not standard swimsuit for both men and women. Now, over in Europe, these swimsuits are certainly more liberal than what we have on our beaches here, generally speaking. But now they're making it clear we're not going to allow this kind of dress inside our public pools. They claim there's no nationwide similar hygiene-related public pool clothing prohibitions across the majority, but France has made its stand clear in the past. See, it depends on where you live in the world and what you see and what you experience. Those born in this country know only this country and what the good they've gotten from it. Born with a golden ticket that others want to come here. And so many of them, with that privilege, now want to denounce it and destroy it. I'd mentioned to you earlier, the World Cup Finals ref, reports coming out that he was arrested in a sex party raid with drugs and prostitution. He's from Slovenia. He was to referee the final World Cup match Sunday between Argentina and Spain. Workers have come out now from Bosnia that police raided a sex party, taking 9 women, 26 men into custody, finding packs of cocaine, guns, bulletproof vests, all of this according to the New York Post. Grabbed them all up, including this World Cup referee. Ultimately, he was released and not charged. He later disclassified as a witness. He said, I was at that just by chance, only in the area for a business meeting. I accepted an invitation to lunch, which turned out to be my biggest mistake. I regret it. I'm sitting at a table with my company, and all of a sudden police came in and all of this happened. I had nothing to do with the group arrested and detained, nor do my business partners. But they took all of us, and we agreed to testify as witnesses. The president of the Association of Football Referees of Slovenia is defending him, saying he was in this place at the wrong time. He's already officiated at three of this year's World Cup games and scheduled to do Sunday. I don't know right now if he's going to or not. In the meantime, are you aware of what California Governor Newsom now wants to do to his citizens? They want to be more compliant on properly disposing of your trash to the extent. Now, imagine the state of California in the financial crisis it's in is now going to send out. They've already got poop squads in the streets of San Francisco to clean up human defecation. And now they're going to go into people's trash cans. And if they find that you're mixing what should be recyclable with other material, they will fine you. They will take photographs and they will fine you and go. Imagine the money that has to be spent to go into a part of California and start inspecting trash cans for that nonsense. All to keep the green altar god pleased. Well, I'll tell you more about that coming up shortly. In the meantime, of course, we'll also update Trump's decision to release classified documents about Chinese interference in our elections. Already, word from Beijing, they're very upset. They're not happy, as if I care. We still have that story to come. And we're going to begin the next segment with a Blaze reporter going after GOP South Carolina Senator Tom Tillis. Is he really working for U.S. citizens and his constituency or not? A point to be made here, though, does Tillis care? He is not running for re-election. He's decided, I'm out of here. I don't know if something got padded to his bank account, but we're going to get into the question and answer coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Senator, you've received almost $700,000 from the illegal labor lobby. Is that why you voted against the Save America Act?
Can you tell me who the illegal labor lobby is?
Yes, it's contractors, general contractors, hospitality companies, industries, construction companies and industries.
How much do you know about the Save which Save America Act are you talking about?
The one that you voted against, sir.
Okay. And so you're asking me if I voted, I was against it because...
You're receiving almost $700,000 from these lobbyists.
Do you have any idea what a remarkably silly question that is?
I think it's a pretty important one. I think your constituents want to know why you're betraying them.
Some math. Do you know what my election cycle, the total all-in election cycle cost was in 2020? It's $300 million. Do you honestly believe that I would make a policy decision based on that?
I don't know why you're betraying your constituents. I'm independent.
Okay.
Why are you betraying your constituents? Why are you betraying your constituents, Senator?
Good luck on the clicks.
We just want secure elections, Senator. You're preventing us from getting that. You're betraying America.
Good luck on your job.
Good luck on yours.
Good luck on your job. Good luck on yours. That was Blaze TV reporter Sarah Gonzalez cornering, ambushing Senator Tom Tillis, North Carolina, Republican, about his vote against the Save America Act. And industries who profit off cheap, illegal labor. And she's saying the monies you got from some of these groups. And he said, what exactly are you talking about? And finally deciding, you know, this is not worthy of me even spending time here with you. I'm going. And good luck with that. I got to tell you, and I'll be honest about it, I don't know all the details of what she's digging into, but I like the fact that she kept pressing him. And he just keeps trying to move away. Just get away. There will be more on that story coming forward, but as I pointed out earlier, I think he's been in the Senate since early 2000s, 10, 12, something like that. But now he's not going to run anymore, so he's stepping out. Would it be because he's collected a lot of money from some of these very industries and lobby groups that he works with? I'm not saying he did. I'm asking the question. That was basically suggested by Sarah Gonzalez of Blaze News. By the way, there's word of a powerful earthquake in Mexico shaking Guatemala and El Salvador. Haven't had time to spend any real time on that story for you today. There'll be more stories coming out about it, obviously. We do know that in the Northeast, all the way into Illinois in some areas, Minnesota included, and New York State in the upper Northeast, they're choking on smoke from Canadian wildfires. I want you to stop and consider something, and we have pointed this out before. If the climate alarmists had their way with everything they want, we would all be dealing with only electric vehicles. There would be no more coal, no more fossil produced fuels, and all the other products that come from that, by the way. It's not just gas, diesel, aviation fuel, many rubber components, things you have in your home. I would say 90% of them probably have some connection to the fossil fuel industry. Byproducts of extracting coal and or oil and gas. So, but if they had their way and all of that got shut down, and now we have smoke fires coming out of Canada, sweeping into our nation, all the way into parts of Illinois, Minnesota, New York, making it hazardous to breathe. And what are they going to do there? Well, there's talk about maybe we should sue Canada for not controlling their wildfires. But the point I'm getting at, all of this effort that had been done to basically clean things up will fall short with one simple wildfire in Canada as the smoke drifts over. Talking about political candidates and the troubles they can get into. In Maine, a transgender candidate for the Maine Senate position sparks online frenzy over a debate question. Basically, they're saying, can't be serious. This person is supposed to replace Democrat nominee Graham Plattner, of course, who had to be stepped aside, had not been properly vetted. But then the left was willing to just buy into him. They thought, this is the way we take Susan Collins out of Maine and win a seat in the Senate for Maine. Well, that all imploded on them. Plattner wearing a Nazi tattoo, said, well, I didn't know what it was. Womanizing, accused by several women of rape and molesting them. Finally, he got too toxic. They had to walk away. Even Chuck Schumer had to walk away. Even Bernie Sanders, who was endorsing and standing by him, basically starts stepping away from him. So now they're going to find somebody to run. This transgender in a debate was asked, what qualifications do you have to serve in the U.S. Senate? And she said, well, I ran for office several times, didn't win, but I did run, and then I'm also a songwriter. I write my own books. Well, again, the question is, what qualifies you to serve in the U.S. Senate? And she said, I suppose my transparency. I wouldn't lie to people, and I wouldn't deceive people, like we're being deceived right now, like we got lied to, smoke and mirrors, like what's going on with ICE. The moment went viral on social media. Many conservatives mocking her list of qualifications. One said, surely you can't be serious. You know what my response is there. Don't call me Shirley. And most of you know where that line originates. The Manhattan Institute vice president stated, I think Susan Collins is going to win. You know, looking at the candidates they're putting up, trying to post. Plattner was a failure. Now they got a transgender. Said, well, I will be transparent. Can't even decide what sex they are. Still another political commentator stated, you cannot and will not convince me this person is real. But in fact, she is. The Washington Examiner senior writer, David Harsanyi, we've had on numerous times before, said, to be fair, there's more relevant experience than Plattner. Still another one pointing out, checking in on the main Democrat Senate debate to replace Graham Plattner, suggesting again, what a farce. Adding, the new main U.S. Senate primary for Democrats is a total clown car. They don't have any depth in good qualified candidates. And where they might have, they ignore because they just don't fit closely enough in the niche of the Democrat Socialist Party. And you want to know how far out this is going right now with the anger against Trump. You ever flown into Miami International Airport? Have you ever flown into West Palm Beach Airport, also known previously as Fort Lauderdale Airport? I may correct myself on that. I believe I might not be right about that. But either way, it's now been renamed President Donald J. Trump International Airport in West Palm Beach. I posted on my Facebook pages and other social media the other day of two signs that my daughter sent me, who lives down in the West Palm Beach area. Actually lives within less than 3 miles of Mar-a-Lago. A sign that says, Donald J. Trump International Airport. Another sign saying, exit now for Donald J. Trump International Airport. And it's got so many on the left so angry. It is 63 miles to the north of Miami International. If you're going to drive from Miami International to Trump International Airport, you're looking at least an hour 15, depending on traffic. But there are some passengers so incensed that they do not want to fly into Donald J. Trump Airport, nor fly out of it. And if they hold a Delta airline flight ticket, here's what Delta is doing. Are you listening? Are you listening to this nonsense? United will let customers avoid that airport, the DJT airport, and fly to Miami or Fort Lauderdale. And then, yes, it is different than Naples Airport, or rather West Palm Beach. Fort Lauderdale is different. But United Airlines is giving reservation agents unusual flexibility to accommodate customers who don't want to fly into Donald J. Trump Airport. Send me somewhere else. Now, of course, then you have to arrange your travel. You were absolutely wanting to go into West Palm Beach, but now you end up in Miami. I told you it's an hour and a half drive, maybe an hour 15, depending on traffic. Or you can go in Fort Lauderdale. But an internal memo shared with Live and Let's Fly states, United is in the process of updating its systems to rename West Palm Beach Airport, PBI, to President Donald J. Trump, DJT. And United is telling reservation agents, and I'm quoting from this, if a customer does not want to fly into the airport, use your empowerment to offer acceptable alternatives, such as Fort Lauderdale Airport or Miami International Airport, because we don't want them to be triggered by going into Donald J. Trump Airport. And the memo even suggests a provided response, and I'm reading that, what they should say to the customer. I understand you'd rather not fly to this airport anymore. We can look at nearby airports like Fort Lauderdale or Miami. Is that an acceptable alternative? And then the agents are instructed to process the change as an even exchange. No additional fees. Basically giving a change for no fee charge whatsoever, even if you're booked into West Palm, that I don't want to go into Donald J. Trump Airport. I might be poisoned or something. This is the lunacy of the left. Generally, airlines do not give you a complimentary destination change simply because you don't like the name of the airport. In fact, I've never heard it before. But United apparently recognizing that name may be so objectionable to some customers that they would prefer to fly into a more distant airport and figure out their own way to get to where they wanted to go. And now there are limits. The memo does state agents should offer an acceptable alternative, which remains subject to availability and whatever discretion United grants its reservation staff. But the central policy is clear. You don't want to fly to the Trump-named airport we will find you another South Florida airport. And you can fly there for no cost in changing your ticket. Once you get there and you really want to go to the West Palm area, you're on your own. You will have to pay money, rent a car or whatever, to make that trip. And those who are already thinking about flying out of that airport on Delta, they can call and cancel and say, we don't want to fly out of that airport. It might be 3 miles from their from where they live. But now they would rather go to Fort Lauderdale or all the way down to Miami Beach and take another flight. And Delta would give them a ticket exchange for free. They could change airlines, but they might face a cancellation fee. In practical terms, United is offering customers a free way to avoid the newly renamed airport because it is toxic. It carries the name of Donald J. Trump. This is kids' foolishness, truly. And you try to tell someone on the left that, are you really serious simply because it's named that? What are you going to do about stretches of highway in Florida in particular where you're going to stay off those highways when they're your best route? They will. Some will. Just because the name is there. If they named an airport after Joe Biden, they're not going to, but if they did, and I'm headed that airport, I'm not going to change my flight because it's Biden's airport or even Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton. But these people are so screwed up in the head, they will. Coming up, as I said, we're going to be talking about Trump's effort to once again empty declassified materials on voter fraud. And we'll also talk about dealing with the fires elsewhere across the nation. We got a lot to go still to come.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.